Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates?
What, Alex? What's up, dude?
Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson.
I am another host, and I am here swaddled in my Cozy Earth sheet.
That's right.
And my fabulous sunglasses. And Alex didn't know.
I looked away. When I looked away from Casey, he was not wearing his Gooder sunglasses. Mm-hmm. When I looked back up at him, he was in the most perfect comedic timing ever.
Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate that.
I'll put mine on as well, Casey.
Yeah, baby. Man.
It's actually quite comfortable to wear sunglasses indoors.
Yeah, you think so? I usually do it only at night.
It immediately takes, I feel like it takes like pressure off my eyes.
You know, it's probably because there's so much artificial light in this world.
That's true, Casey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know me.
I do.
I love, you always made fun of me for saying that in ads. It's like my go-to line was, Casey, you know me. which is something I picked up from Tim and Eric, I think. But I love artificial light. I love my lamps, much like Steve Carell. I love lamps. I love my screens.
It's actually Steve Carell's character, Brick.
Thank you. Wow. And these sunnies are making it a little easier to look around and exist in this Barbie world.
I feel like, Alex, sometimes you live a life that is in this case specifically, you swallow a fly, so then you have to swallow a spider.
Well,
and then so you have all your lights on, then you have to wear your sunglasses inside.
Yeah.
Because of that, you need to turn up the brightness on your computer.
It's very American, don't you think?
It is. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah.
To like have a problem, so you introduce a solution that causes another problem. So you it's like medication.
It is. Yeah.
Anyway,
this is not an ad for pills or things.
It's also not a bonus episode, even though it's got Tremium energy.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, we're a little too chill right now.
Well, Casey, that's right. Today, we say goodbye to our STEMful life, and we prepare to move back to our civilian life, living virtuously.
Yes, but we have to do one more first.
In about an hour, we're going to say goodbye to our STEMful life.
We're giving it up.
Yep.
We're and we ask are forgiveness.
Accepting our Lord Jesus Christ into our lives.
Probably, yeah.
And Casey doesn't know that I have a baptizer ready to go.
What? Oh, my God.
And a font. That's right. Today is the last of our seven deadly stems.
Yeah.
And we are talking.
Well, here's a little bit behind the veil. I've been gone for a month, you guys.
Yeah.
And so now we have to remember where we're at and how to do a podcast.
Yes.
And today we're doing envy, Alex.
I believe we recorded some ads right before this.
Yes.
And I believe it took me five tries to say the word promo code.
Yeah, which you knew you could mess that up in five different unique ways. Not you, Alex, just anyone. I didn't think there was. Yeah,
I was promo-proding.
Yeah, it was just so good. I laughed. I had a giggle.
What did you say we're doing?
We're doing envy today, Alex.
Envy, Casey.
Yeah, and I'm very stoked about this. The first episode, fantastic. The second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth episode, uh-huh, also fantastic. But our bookends here, I think I'm just absolutely stoked about.
Oh, man.
I think I hit him on the nose.
That
is what I'm saying.
Great to hear, Casey.
Yes.
And of course, we had to choose a tree to talk about this week.
We did.
And that tree is not a tree.
This is probably the most sacrilegious, ironically, episode that we've ever done.
Uh-huh. In the climax of our big, important series,
yeah,
we've chosen to cover a grass. That is right. We are talking giant bamboo.
Yep. Send your emails and letters whenever you get a chance.
You have been bamboozled into listening to this podcast.
This has actually been a grass podcast this whole time.
Every tree we've covered is actually a grass.
Yeah, tomorrow we're talking about turf grass. It is...
J.K. Rowling grass?
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, that's fun. That's good.
Thanks.
No, it's just your old standard Kentucky bluegrass.
I see.
Our subject today for envy is giant dragon bamboo, Dendrocalamus cynicus.
Cynicus?
Yes.
Ah.
That is based on like Sinai. So sinensis essentially means of China.
Okay. So this is giant Chinese bamboo.
Yes.
I don't know if this was named, if the common name was given by a European.
Yeah, you know, you kind of, I would guess so.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, though, it actually kind of matches it because dragons historically are always depicted as being like big and have intense scales and things. And this tree has like what appears to be scale-like sheaths around it.
Very cool.
We'll talk more about it,
though. In fact, you could say that I'm envious of this tree, Casey.
Exactly. Now, Alex, can you put together why this is for envy?
Not yet.
Well, it's not a tree.
But it wants to be.
Exactly.
Wow.
Because this bamboo gets to be 150 feet tall.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's all I'll do for now.
Casey, before we move on to our break, did you know that this podcast is supported fully by the lovely, lovely Fungal Associates who listen to it?
Alex, I did know that. I know it, and my heart is full because of it.
That's right, Casey. And that includes people who just listen to the podcast and listen to the ads, people who share things about the podcast on social media, who send texts to their friends, hey, check out this podcast. And of course, to all of our Tremium members, arbitrarypod.supercast.com. That's ARBORTRAY pod.supercast.com. If you go there, you'll see some options to become a Tremium member.
That's right.
What do Tremium members get, Casey?
They get the world at their fingertips.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know if we can promise that.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, okay. Maybe that's a little bit much. But at the minimum, you get access to a bunch of extra episodes and content that we have hidden away, squirreled away so that only people can get it who join the Tremium. They also get ad-free listens across our entire catalog.
That's right. Every episode we've ever made, ad-free.
Exactly. And you can add that onto your Spotify. You can do pretty much anything you want. We also have an AMA feature. You get 10% off or 15% off.
It's 20% off,
you get
Casey.
20% off all the goods at our merch store.
That's right.
Which also, we have a merch store, and you should definitely go to that too. That's another great way to support our show.
Great way to support the show and rep this podcast that you love so much. And of course, at the very, the Mount Olympus, the pantheon of Completely Arbitrary Streamium is the Cone Club.
That's right.
If you join that, every single month, you get a cone sticker illustrated by a different cool artist sent to you anywhere you are in the world with a nice little cone card that has some information on the cone so you can learn a thing or two.
Exactly, because that's what this podcast is really all about.
That's right, Case.
It's about learning.
And today, this podcast is all about Envy and the giant dragon bamboo, and we will talk about that after the break. We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or... And you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary Seven Deadly Stems. I am sad to see it end, Casey.
I am too, but you know what? I love to watch it go.
It's got a shape to it.
It's got a shape to it. You know, took me a long time as a child to understand what that sentence meant.
Yeah.
Took me a long time.
That's a classic. It's so funny.
Well, we're going to talk just kind of about bamboo generally today. And I think it's going to be a lovely episode because we also, we have to scratch almost our entire thing because this is such a weird plant. You can't really give it a normal description the way we normally would.
Wow.
Because it's just different.
Well, let's see what we can do, Casey.
Let's figure it out.
Let's imagine that you and I are walking through the Yunnan province of China, or perhaps we're in Laos.
One of the two. Okay.
And we come across some giant bamboo. They're hard to miss. Let's ID this grass.
I appreciate the opportunity, Alex. Now, this is, as we've noted, giant bamboo. And the thing that is really, like, the first thing that jumps out at me is the fact that it gets 150 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's 46 meters.
Big ol'.
That is obscene. Like, generally, it gets between 20 and 30, depending on where it's at. That's, like, its favorite thing to do. And bamboo grows in these big, tall canes that come up.
Mm.
And these canes, individually, they're all stems, and they're all called culms. C-U-L-M.
Culm.
Yes.
Okay.
And a culm is a stem, it's a stalk, it's a cane, it's all the same thing.
Okay.
Now, bamboos, as you have noted, Alex, they are in the grass family, Poaceae.
Grass is a family?
Grass is, yes, it's a clade. So, you know how we say trees don't exist?
Yeah.
Grasses do exist.
Wow.
All the things that are grasses, which are almost everything, like when you add up what grasses are in our world, it encompasses just about everything that possibly exists. Rice and wheat and corn and bamboo and everything that you look at and you think to yourself, that's a grass. It's probably a grass.
Interesting.
They're all in one big family, one group, one clade.
Okay.
You clip off one grass and it includes all the other grasses.
Cool.
So it is, it's a pretty big family, and specifically for our little sub-area of bamboo, there are over 88 genera and 1,642 species of bamboo.
Wow.
And what's interesting is that this species, which, again, that's Dendrocalamus sinicus, this is a species that we didn't actually know in terms of science, Western science, until I think like 1982. We just had no clue. And we might have known that the things existed. Certainly the people in Laos in the Yunnan area of China, they knew it existed. But there's other species in the same genre, really big, large, gigantic timber-sized bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about bamboo, we're going to talk a little bit about more later, but I have to introduce now,
okay,
is that they have a really weird flowering cycle, where sometimes it will go decades between when a given species will put out flowers and make seeds. So it's a challenge to say which one is different from the other, because as you know, we as a taxonomic unit, as a scientist looking and naming and separating plants, we use the flowers and the fruit as their as the means of separating species.
Yeah.
So if you have a plant that just doesn't flower for 30 or 40 or 50 years, you have no idea if it's maybe a slightly different species based on flower anatomy than another one.
It's surprising to me because they grow so fast, but they flower every once in a while.
Exactly. So fascinating plants. We'll get to that in a second,
okay,
the flowering cycle. But first, let's talk about this this clumping, gigantic plant. So,
well, settle a bet first of all, Casey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do we got?
Is bamboo hollow?
Yes, most of them.
Okay. So it's just like a cylinder, like a toilet paper tube.
Yeah. Yeah.
How strange.
Yeah. But it has these areas in between that that are right at the node. So what the how bamboo works, we'll start with this. It sends up one cotyledon. So it's a monocot.
Mm-hmm.
Just like all grasses you've ever seen, there's one little slice of I guess it's just leaf that would come up. Now that starts to grow a big rhizome at the base, or a big kind of underground stem.
Yeah.
That underground stem has roots that come off of it, and then it has these stems that come up. And the way this one works, our species here, the giant dragon bamboo, is it does not send out long runners. It just kind of sends out a little stem that goes kind of whoop over and then up again. So it just kind of, I think about it like a W creating itself another U. So you have one U, then you have a W, then you have a triple U, and then each one of those U's adds more little bits onto it. So it just kind of grows out and then curves up, and now you have a new entire thing. But they call that a petiole, because the whole thing that grows up then becomes this new culm. All the words, everything we would use, Alex, just, you got to throw it out the window.
Okay, yeah.
So as it grows, it creates these little clumps. And what is interesting about bamboo is that it will grow, similar to a palm, in one diameter, and it will stay that diameter the entire time. So
yes,
it's a perfect cylinder going straight up with these diaphragms, or what they're called, right at the nodes. And the nodes are these sections where you can see kind of the joints in the bamboo.
Yeah.
Now, those are just lines that have to do with where the growth stopped previously and where the sheath was attached and kind of fell off.
Okay.
So when each one of these new little segments comes up, they have this little sheath that wraps around them. Then as they kind of expand, the sheath kind of opens up a little bit. It's almost like it's getting forced open. And then you'll see that very sharp kind of pyramidal point growing up from this bamboo. So it grows from that top point. So the whole thing kind of grows and expands all at once until the individual segments get to their length. For our species, it's about 8 inches or so is an average size.
Okay.
Then it keeps going up and up and up, and that tip just keeps on elongating until it becomes 100 feet tall.
Wow.
It just blows my mind.
Okay, so let's, this is like world building for science fiction books. So I need to like make sure that I have all the correct kind of players here.
Yes.
So the cotyledon comes out of the ground.
Correct.
And it sort of, I mean, speaking of dragons, I'm looking at these, what did you call when it grows out a
rhizome?
Rhizome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So kind of the base. Well, it looks like the base of a tree, but it will be the tip that goes up and up and up.
Correct.
It kind of looks like a dragon's tail.
Yeah,
coming
it kind of does.
Like
yeah,
a barbed tail.
Yeah, because they're really like very, very tightly packed with all these kind of overlapping sheaths that are very close together.
Yeah.
So yeah, it does. It has this like very like scary looking sharp point coming up from the ground. That's when it's, I should note, the cotyledon, when it first starts, the very close in central canes are actually very small because it doesn't have enough energy to build it up. But as it gets more energy, you get more sunlight, it grows out those new U's. Little rhizomes come out, then they shoot up.
Yeah.
Each time they shoot up, they get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger,
okay,
a little bit bigger. So the biggest canes are actually kind of out towards the outer edge of the entire plant because it grows in this very small clump.
So is a single bamboo plant one stalk?
No.
Of the giant bamboo?
It's the whole population of stalks of these culms.
Oh, so it could be like 30 or 40 stalks.
Yeah.
And that's one bamboo plant.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so when you're saying, all right, well, you just cleared something up for me kind of accidentally.
Oh, hey, nice.
You're saying these little U-shaped things, like the W growing the U's on the sides,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Each little point of the U is a new stalk.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Precisely.
I was imagining all of that terminology centered on one stalk.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This is like daisy chaining.
Yes, 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 yes.
Bamboo outward.
Precisely.
Okay. And,
yeah.
And there's many stalks in a bamboo plant.
Correct.
Do they all share a root system?
They do, yeah. They're all connected through the roots.
Okay.
Each one of those U's coming off. It might be better to think about them like L's, where you have the bottom part of an L is growing off of the top part of the other L,
yep,
but they just kind of go out and then go up, and then they go out and then they go up.
Okay.
So not on top of the L, the vertical part is the cane. That's the one growing up and
I mean, it's
getting large.
Fittingly similar to the Coco de Mer, right? right?
Yes, exactly.
Send out a shoot underground and then pop it up. I mean, they're both grasses.
Exactly.
I
well, they're very closely related because they're not the palms are in a different family.
Okay.
So they are not in that same grass clade.
Oh, okay.
So as these new things, let's just fast forward to it becoming the giant that it will become.
Yes.
So it starts to produce these gigantic canes, which, as I noted, can get up to 150 feet or 46 meters tall, which is taller than probably most of the things that we call trees.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not just big for like a monocot. That's big for a tree.
That's big for anything. Yeah. It's just giant. And they actually also, each one of these canes is about 15 inches in diameter.
Wow.
37 centimeters, which is like large. That's more than a foot in diameter.
Yeah, that's big.
Which is also bigger than many things we've covered on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like pomegranates, I don't think we'll ever get that big in diameter. Mm, okay. So anyway, just saying. The thickness of the wall, you noted, or you asked if they are hollow, and they are indeed hollow. So each one of these is like a segment with a top and a bottom called a diaphragm, and that's right at the nodes, and then on the inside, 100% completely hollow.
Wow.
Just filled with air.
They don't like collect water or anything?
Nope, not even a little bit.
Okay, oh, because the top is closed off.
Top is closed off, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does that every 8 inches or so, and then has these big, thick walls.
Okay.
So nothing really gets in. I'm sure that there's plenty of animals that would burrow in, or like a woodpecker probably lives there. It's a great spot for something like that.
Careful, though. It's like essentially a giant empty elevator shaft.
True, yeah. But, well, no, that's the thing. There's the breaks in it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so unless they go through the diaphragms one direction or another.
And the diaphragms are how thick?
I don't know exactly how thick. Probably just probably less than an inch or so.
Okay.
I don't think they're too wild.
Same material as the... I know I'm getting in the weeds here, so to speak.
Hey.
But same material as the stalk?
Yeah, yeah,
as
yeah.
As the
yeah.
outside?
It's essentially just very lignified plant tissue, like just cellulose.
Yeah.
But there's no, in the traditional tree sense, where you have the cambium layer on the outside of wood, and each year it builds up a new layer, which then lays down a little more wood and then has the bark on the outside. The individual vascular bundles are just kind of spread all throughout that circular ring around the outside because it's hollow on the inside. So you essentially have this 2-inch thick wall with vascular bundles just kind of popped all in between, which is very grass-like. That's the same thing for all grasses. You go cut down a stalk of corn, same exact thing. You go out to a wetland and find reed canary grass, cut them out, cut it down, same exact thing.
Well, Casey, let's talk leaves because I'm very interested in... I wouldn't say very interested.
yeah. Temper your interest levels for everything we do here, right?
I know that they're traditional. They look like bamboo leaves, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they bigger? Are they giant leaves?
They are. They're very large leaves, but they're not like too crazy. They are kind of oval shaped, and they pop out in these skinny twigs. Each one of those skinny twigs then also has tiny little leaves that come off of it. So I say tiny, but they're maybe about 8 or 10 inches long at most. And these little branches that come out, they only pop off at the very tippy top of these giant stems. So often it's actually difficult to even see what they look like at all. But you would recognize them. They are this quintessential leaf of bamboo. They're kind of long, skinny, very grass-like, and have a pointed tip and parallel veins that come out. Although these ones are a little bit more oval shaped, they're not quite so skinny and linear.
Are they compound?
They are not compound.
Okay.
But it's also difficult to say because there's the individual leaves that are coming off of this stalk. Is that stalk the petiole? And then each one of those is a thing because the whole thing is kind of a leaf. So it's a little bit funky to get into that because it's hard to tell. There's a bud at each one of the nodes.
Uh-huh.
So that should count. But then that would make it a pinnately compound leaf or double or bi or triple. It would just really, as far as botany goes, it gets a little complicated.
Okay.
But it's also just a completely different like set of rules that you're playing with. So it's a little bit challenging.
Cool. You know why I like talking about other types of plants on this podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty familiar at this point with trees, how trees work and tree terminology.
Okay.
And And then we talk about like a grass or a flower, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think of those science fiction books that are so impossible to read because they like there's some alien that visits Earth or something.
Yeah.
And the alien is so different from humans that you like can't even use terminology that we have
to describe them. It makes sense. Like we just don't have a word. There's no analogous.
Yeah. And it's like so different that you have to be like, throw out everything you think you know about life.
Yeah.
This is in a completely different sphere.
Yeah.
Like, forget everything.
I'm so happy to hear that. That makes my day. Most people would be like, I don't like talking about bamboo because it's different. And I can't use the words that I like to use. My frame of reference is completely ripped apart.
I think it's a fun challenge.
Hey, there you go, Alex. Well, thank good. Yes.
Well, yeah, that's how I feel about bamboo. It's pretty fun. Okay. It's pretty cool.
Well, okay, great. Let's just give it the rating now. Call it in.
Can you tell I'm like ready to be done? Well, Casey, you were about to lead into something.
Now, Alex, we kind of touched a little bit earlier about the flowering cycle of bamboo. Now, I should say there are three different ways that bamboo kind of grow and do things. There are the herbaceous sorts of bamboo that just kind of grow and they look like grasses, more or less.
Okay.
They're essentially grasses.
Like undergrowth type stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And then there are these other kinds that are kind of these very long-lived, but they blossom every now and then. Hmm. That is what our species does, and that's called sporadic flowering.
Okay.
The first do, the herbaceous ones do continuous flowering, so they just grow up like a grass does, and then they put out their flowers, because grass is also a flowering plant. It has little teeny tiny flowers. Those little teeny tiny flowers become little teeny tiny seeds called grains, and then those individual grains will go and do whatever they do.
But those are on a seasonal basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Or perennial? Is
that right? Yes, and these are all perennial plants. Mm-hmm. They also, many of them will grow in the tropics, so they'll just kind of continuously do whatever they're doing.
Okay.
So you have these herbaceous ones. They flower continuously. Then you have these sporadically flowering bamboo, like our species, our giant dragon bamboo, and they will grow up and they'll just kind of say, hey, pop, I'm going to flower over here. This one's going to flower over there. I'm going to flower over here. And they just kind of does it sporadically. It's not quite random. Usually it's in response to some kind of stimulus, whether it's the environment or its roots were cut, it was damaged, it was a drought, something like that. And a lot of bamboo does that. Sometimes, though, it's a stress response.
Yeah.
And other times, it's just kind of how the plant works, how it goes about its day.
They grow a flower as a stress response?
Yeah, which a lot of plants do this.
Okay.
Where, like, big cone crops and conifers, it's a great example, where you are stressed. Something happened. You're running out of water. You decide that you're going to throw all of your energy into reproduction, and then make all these seeds and then die.
Kind of a last ditch effort to survive.
Exactly. Yeah. So it happens every now and then, but most plants, it's their very last thing. That's all they want to do. Sporadic flowering in bamboo is not quite that.
Okay.
At least most of the time, if it's normal, if that's just its normal thing. Now, the real thing that is fantastically fabulous about bamboo is that it flowers, and I almost chose a different species for this just so that we could talk more about this. And then I said, Casey, it's your podcast, buddy, do whatever you want to do.
You can cry if you want to.
Exactly. So I chose this time I actually chose not to cry because I was going to choose the second tallest growing bamboo, which is a very closely related species. They also call it giant bamboo, and it is its specific epithet is giganteus. So I was like, wow, this must be the one. Dendrocalamus giganteus.
That is the one that comes up when I Googled giant bamboo.
Exactly. Me too. So I was looking around trying to find which one would be the best, and I found this great website. It's all about Guadan bamboo, which is one from like central Ecuador.
Okay.
But the entire, it's more like this personal website all about bamboo. It's kind of like the wood database where one guy's just like, you know what? I'm just going to make a huge, big thing all about this. It's a great website. And so I ended up looking through that for quite a while. And one of the things I found is actually, no, this is the taller species, but it has sporadic flowering. The second tallest species, which is this giganteous one, has what's called gregarious flowering.
Wow.
Now, are you familiar with the idea of gregarious flowering?
I know the chanting.
This is very much 100% different from that.
Okay, so these flowers don't come out with woolen hoods.
No. They don't brew very yeasty sour beer.
Right.
Yes. They or not
swing little smoke chandeliers.
Precisely. They don't do any of that. No. Gregarious means that it does it all at once across almost the entire species. The entire plant will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, and then it'll flower. And then it dies.
Oh,
the whole thing. It's very, very octopusy. Alex did not expect me to say that. So first off, that's a callback to the classic James Bond movie.
Of course. I didn't even know what to say. I was speechless.
You were. That was
like
great.
For the first time ever, maybe.
It looked like I slapped you and you just were stunned.
It took so long to process what you were saying.
All right. I'll change my verbiage.
So, no, that no.
Octopus-ish.
You shan't. You shan't change it. Okay. So this is not the spread. This is gregarious. Gregarian.
Yes. Well, I don't even need to say that. It's a huge number of species, like literally hundreds and hundreds of species. Uh-huh. The majority of bamboo probably grow and flower with a gregarious fashion.
It's almost like an animal.
It kind of is, which is why I said an octopus.
Yeah.
Because octopus mothers famously will make a brood of, I think it's thousands of eggs.
Totally.
And then will guard them and not eat and literally wither away to death.
Oh my God.
And while, and then, but usually, right as all the little babies flourish, and this all happens with 1 year. Like, octopus do not live very long.
Wow.
And then they have their new brood. They go off and do their same thing.
Mom of the Year award much?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
100%. Salmon also do this, Casey?
Yes, but they live for way longer. But you're right. Yeah, it is exactly the same thing. They go upstream, let their eggs, and then they die.
Yeah, they're I can think of maybe just those two, but I'm sure there are lots of animals that do this.
And yeah, insects are a very good example.
Yes, that's right. Okay, that's what I was mostly thinking of. I think like fruit flies will be like,
yeah,
I've had babies.
And then they just go kaput. Yeah, moths, you know, cicadas, it's kind of their whole thing.
So a lot of plants do this as well?
Several, like agave is a great example.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Grows up this huge, big flower head, and then poof, just kicks the bucket.
Wow. So the timing has to be
exactly
perfect,
it's
right?
It's got to be perfect because it has to get pollinated by another plant.
Yeah.
So they're synchronized. So all the species will grow. And this is the thing, Alex. This isn't just every 5 years, every 2 years, every 3 years. This can be a huge range of years, spanning sometimes a century.
What?
There are plants in this website, and you guys can follow this if you go to our website and go to our show notes. They have different species and their flowering cycles in years. 50 plus, 28, 35, 35 to 80, 20 to 100, 80 to 150, 50 to 60.
These are bamboo?
These are all species of bamboo.
Wow.
And they grow and flower at these wildly long periods of time. So they stay in this vegetative state for sometimes 80, 100, 120 years, then all at once, worldwide, they all bloom, and then they all die.
Worldwide?
Yes. And this is another thing, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, but the brush can be pretty damn broad here.
Yeah.
Where it is something that is genetically encoded, where there is some kind of alarm clock inside some species, inside their individual cells, that say, and now it's reproduction time. They could be on different continents, and they will bloom at the same time. Now, I say same time, but sometimes it can be kind of offset a little bit.
Okay.
Where like it happens over a period of several years.
Even then.
But it's all this like, it's all on this big cycle. So a period of several years while being in a vegetative state for 80 years, that kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the ratio is, it makes sense there.
Yeah.
But also that clicked for me, like why they take so long to flower if they only flower once and then die.
Go for it.
Like, you better invest some time to make sure you're healthy and good.
And that's exactly what a lot of scientists think. There's a lot of different theories out there.
Okay.
And one of them, the most prominent, is exactly what you said, where everything needs to be right and they have to get their energy built up to just completely blow it all out there, so to speak.
Yeah.
They are wind pollinated, you guys. Don't take it there, you dirty. This is not a lost episode.
This is like the most edging plant ever.
Oh, God.
They got the bluest balls for 80 years.
And then it just pops.
And then they're so exhausted, they just die.
It's horrific. But yeah, that's about right, Alex. Well said.
So they need to make sure that they're like healthy and passing on good traits and genes and things before they kick the bucket.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's incredible.
It's a wooden bucket.
It is. If you want to call it wood, it's bamboo.
Wow.
It's not, there's no secondary growth.
It is so wood-like.
It is, yeah, because it's a plant. It has the cellulose that's really hard and lignified and all this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not technically wood, just why no one would, in their right mind, say this is a tree.
Yeah.
But then again, it's bigger than most trees. You have to walk under it. It has a weird growth habit, so I can't quite be like, it's not a tree. I give presentations, this is what I did just a couple weeks ago, asking what exactly is a tree and where are we drawing the line? We've talked about all these things on the podcast trillions of times.
Mm-hmm.
But is this a tree? Well, if you like start adding in all these capricious definitions just to make trees as you know it, kind of fit, you know, make the definition fit the thing, then is that a real definition? I don't know.
Right. I mean, as we've said many times, I think we've settled right on lowercase t.
Yes, I
think
for
this kind
fair.
Of thing.
Yeah.
This is a tree with a lowercase t.
Exactly.
It ain't no ponderosa pine.
No, but it'll grow taller than half of those.
True.
Anyway. Yeah. I don't know what I was trying to say there. Those anyway.
Half of those anyway. You turn into an 18th century British surfer dude.
All right. Yeah. Nice. Cool. I'll take it.
Fascinating stuff, Case.
Yeah. And you know, the seeds at the end of the day, this entire podcast has just been a description of this one plant.
Yeah. It's great.
The seeds, they look like little bits of rice.
Really?
At the end of the day, I guess, because let me remind you, they're grass. Just like rice.
So it's just a grain. Can you eat those as you would a grain?
You know, I don't. I have not seen any specific evidence that you can, because it's, I think, mostly just so undependable, you know?
Sure.
You can't say, hey, I'm going to eat that thing in 80 years when it blooms. But it is edible in the sense that, like, rats and mice and things all go crazy for it, which is actually a big thing that people are, they always bring in economics, because this is a timber species, I should note.
Right.
They grow it up for houses, for piping, for everything
you
can imagine.
Yeah.
It's a giant big thing. And this isn't even necessarily the best. It's one of the best. But there are multiple species of giant bamboo that they could use for this kind of thing. And every time it blooms, they all bloom at once, or at least certain species. And sometimes they can, like the cicadas this year, they can all sync up by accident.
Oh.
Where you have, you know, well, this one does it every 17, this one every 9, this one every 4. And then at some point, they're all going to happen on that same day, the common denominator sort of thing.
This is like how, well, quick, a music thing.
Ah.
It's like, have you seen these videos of people doing, I know this is so off topic, sorry, I don't give a shit anymore. Those videos of people doing like polyrhythm things where they'll be like, it's like a video that's cut into four quadrants.
Oh, it'll
be like
yeah.
A drummer playing a four on the floor beat in like 120 BPM.
Yeah.
And then like one that's at like 140.
Uh-huh.
And then one is at like 85.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll show all these happening, and then eventually they will all sync up for just a second.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then they'll get off again. And then,
it's exactly, literally exactly the same thing.
Yeah, cool.
So this happens every now and then with the bamboo.
You did it
again. Did I do it again? I've been in Europe for too long.
Take that again.
So this happens every now and then in bamboo world.
Okay.
And they all bloom at the same time, then they all die at the same time.
Wow.
So they get this huge influx of like little critters eating all of these little seeds that are everywhere.
Right.
And then all of their bamboo dies. So they're like, oh, I've been growing this for 80 years.
It's like a pestilence.
Exactly. It's a huge issue.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, now my livelihood, like our entire rural economy here is based on these bamboo plants.
Mm.
Now they're all dead and they have to start getting energy. So they start with really small canes. So as the plant gets older and older, it sends up new canes, the newer ones get larger and larger. So as it expands outwards in this clump, the outermost canes are the biggest, but that takes time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So there you have it. So they're
fascinating plants.
The wildest grasses in the world.
Wow.
I'm just like, I have to give it to him. I have to give it to the species for being, you know, pretty dang interesting.
It's pretty out there. Can I say something that is potentially controversial right before we go to the break?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
This is like my mic drop moment and I walk off stage.
As long as if it's controversial enough that it'll get people to come back after the ads to hear the review.
Hopefully.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Listen, Fungal Associate, I would hope you would do that anyway. We love you so much. Please come back.
Fungal Associate.
So if you imagine early peoples in North America, imagine like the first people to come across the Bering Strait there, right?
Yeah.
They're like, this is our new home. We're settling down here. Mm-hmm. This is where we are now. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the resources we have.
Mm-hmm.
We have these big trees. We cut them down. We've got wood.
Yeah.
That's fuel. That is timber to build things with. We can, it's transportation, build a canoe out of it, right?
Yeah.
Some of it is food, you know?
Yeah.
Tools.
Yeah, lots of different resources.
Shit,
sure.
You could build a whole civilization on a tree. That shit is a good find.
Someone should make a movie about this.
That's found money, as they say. Now imagine early peoples in like China, okay?
Yeah.
And now the living situation is a little rougher, right? Because it's like, there are some serious like insects and animals.
It's
out here.
Way more tropical in our region. This is a very tropical plant.
Yes, exactly. But they have this bamboo, right? Now, I almost want to go out on a limb and say bamboo might be like, is it like more versatile, you think, than wood? Like a better find than a tree?
Interesting. You know, I don't know how quickly these last in terms of like decay resistance,
but they grow so fast.
That's true. Yeah.
You just make
a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, I should. I didn't even know how fast this thing grows. This thing will grow to its full 30 meters height in like 3 months.
That's fucking crazy.
Yes. It's insane. It's one of the fastest growing plants.
Say that again. 30 meters.
Yes.
In 3 months.
Yes. So it'll become 100 feet tall in a matter of one, not even full summer.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's out of this world. It's truly one of those things where you're like, this is like...
Can you like look at it and see it grow?
Yes, you can. Well, not with this species, but with some of them. Yeah,
really?
You can. They can actually, I think they calculated it at 1.5 inches per hour. So it's slow enough that you won't be able to physically like watch it and see it growing. Like I could move my hand, you know,
but you can make a little Sharpie mark and then come back and it would be
exactly. Yeah. And they've done like, time lapses and things like that.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
I heard that they, actually the Chinese, it's either Chinese or Japanese way back when they would set someone down on top of a bamboo shoot as a form of torture. Cause it would slowly grow up through them. Pretty intense.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's awful. That's anyway, how fast they grow, though. You wouldn't be there for long.
I think that bamboo is like, I don't know. I think it kind of competes with wood.
Oh, certainly.
Human usability.
I think you're right. And it's like a pre-made cup, you know?
Yeah.
It's a pre-made bowl.
Piping and get water from one place to the other. You don't have to dig a canal. You just put a piece of bamboo up there. And I mean, come on.
It's a very versatile thing. And many of it is also edible. Many species are edible.
There you go.
So, in fact, this one, I think they can eat the shoot of it, I believe. But there's a lot of other like bits. Like, you know, you've had bamboo shoots in all sorts of different cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very common that they will grow certain bamboo for food, certain bamboo for timber, and for other things. Like, it's used for flooring, like we talked about. So, I don't know. I think you might be right. At least it's on par.
Pretty good stuff.
Yes.
Casey, we must give a review to this tree.
Okay.
But we have to do so after a break. We'll be right back with the conclusion of our 7 deadly stems here on Completely Arbitrary.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. That was our discussion of the giant dragon bamboo. It is time for a review.
All right.
And that's spelled R-E-V-I-O-O. Today, let's give our rating to this tree, and here's how it works. We're gonna give some final thoughts on it and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden stemful cones of honor. Mm-hmm. As our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
All right. I like this plant. I really do. I don't think I can call it a tree, though. I don't think I can call it a tree because the stems are different, and it's not that they do not do tree-like stuff. It's that they grow up and they barely branch. They have just these little tiny twigs of leaves that come out. And they are a clumping organism. Most trees are not clumping organisms. And when they are, they're short and we call them shrubs.
A clumping organism, you mean like Eddie Murphy?
Wow. Yeah. As soon as you get them all, they coagulate. No.
Nutty Professor.
Because
the clumps.
Okay. I didn't know exactly where you were going with that. But yes, now I see Alex.
Eddie Murphy is a clumping organism.
He is a clumping organism.
We have the proof.
We have it on videos in 2, 3, and 4 different sequences.
Okay.
Yes, so it is a clumps. It creates a little group of stems that get bigger as they get, you know, spread out. But it's a very specific strategy, and I think it is discrete from tree strategy. And even though you could take, say, Pando, the aspen that has grown like a hydra over thousands of years, and you could say that that's doing essentially the same thing, I would say, well, it is, but it's not the like number one strategy of how it grows.
Right.
It will grow as a single tree, and it will do its tree thing until it dies or it gets cut off or something happens to it. The bamboo, it's how it grows no matter what. It will always just be sending up these new shoots. It's that strategy.
So it isn't tree-like enough for you.
Yes.
To call it a tree.
Exactly. Now, can I like really give you a great definition of what that is? No. But as I say famously in all of my presentations, I know it when I see it.
Totally.
This is not a tree. Yet we are keeping it here because we've already done the show and it's envious of a tree. At the very end of the show, I determine it's not a tree. We erase the whole thing. We never do it.
I would never let you do that.
Thank you, Alex. It is envious of being a tree, so it does everything a tree does except for just normally grow like a tree.
Yeah.
If it was just a single stem, just one single comb, I would say that counts as a tree. You are officially treedom.
Fair enough, Casey.
So I am going to give this one, this bamboo, this grass, of all grasses, super high marks.
Yeah.
It's the most extraordinary of all the grasses. And I say that knowing that everything I eat is like 50% grass.
Sure.
Although, I think that because it's not quite a tree, I'm going to have to pull a couple marks from it.
That's fine.
It is the tallest. I'm going to give this as a bamboo, as a very particular thing that is in this world. I'm going to give it an 8.6.
Wow.
It's really interesting. It's fascinating. And you can look at photos and see people standing next to it. And you're like, what the hell?
It's cartoonish.
It really is. Like, it's so big. You could legitimately use this for all the things we're talking about. Like, it stands up to competition with a tree in every regard. It's got to get something for that.
You could use this giant bamboo as a prop in a live action Borrowers movie.
Yes.
And pretend that it's normal sized bamboo.
Yeah. You totally could. I was like, okay, where is he going with this?
8.7?
No, 8.6.
8.6?
8.7 would be too much.
I am shocked, I will say. That is high.
It's honestly, the main reason it's high is because it's just gigantic. And because it is so big, it's got such weird things that it does.
Yeah.
Like its sheaths are huge. It looks like a dragon scale. You know, like they're just so interesting.
It's kind of the Coco de Mer of bamboo.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's got everything for what it is. Now, any other bamboo, I'm going to give it a zero because bamboo sucks most of the time. But these really wild, beautiful, like tropical species native to a certain area that are clumping, like they don't really make these huge, big, wild groves that you can't get through. They're just gorgeous. They're fascinating. And I'm all about it.
All right.
But again, there's an asterisk on this one.
That's fine.
Not a tree.
That's fine.
Okay. Alex, what do you think?
Well, I think this bamboo is pretty cool. I also think it's really not a tree. I'm not that far gone. and as such, I don't think I'm going to give it a tree rating.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give, like you, I'm going to give it a rating on the grass curve.
Yeah,
you
know? I think so. I think that's the right way to do it.
It's fucking enormous. That is so cool.
It's giant.
And bamboo as a material, I find really cool.
Yeah.
I know we went through a big bamboo boon in the early 2000s.
Yeah, people were all about it. They thought it was going to save the planet.
Yes.
And then what did we do? We just cut down all the forests to plant bamboo plantations.
Oh, my God.
You're just like defeating our purposes. Yeah.
So, yeah, as a grass, this gets high marks. And I'm going to give it a nice round 8.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. As a tree, I mean, it's like dividing by zero.
Totally.
Syntax error.
Yes.
I can't do it.
We can't do that. Not available.
Yeah.
That was our discussion and our rating of the giant bamboo. Hey, we hope you enjoyed that 7 Deadly Stems. Casey, we've come to the end of 7 Deadly Stems.
What a good time, honestly. Yeah. I had a very good time.
You did a great job coming up with all these trees and all these themes.
Thank you, Alex.
And I did a great job getting them edited on time.
Yes, you did.
Casey, it is time for a very exciting game.
Okay.
This is a rare segment.
Okay.
Called Trail Snacks.
What?
You and I are going to eat a tree-based food stuff.
This is my favorite one.
Me too. This week, we have something very special. We have been trying to, I won't say try, we have wanted to, but we haven't put any work into finding this food stuff and trying it.
What is it?
We were sent it by Abigail Owen.
What? We got something sent?
Yep, we got something sent. Abigail Owen sent us these and a couple of other jarred items that I have eaten already since you've been gone to Italy.
This is so unfair.
Sorry. But we have, for the first time ever, pine cone jam.
No way.
In addition.
Oh my God.
We also have some spruce syrup.
No.
I believe this is spruce tip syrup.
This is just outstanding.
And if I remember correctly, Abigail's family runs a farm.
Okay.
And this is part of the kind of farm homemade goods they make.
Wow. This is amazing. Thanks, Abigail.
Yeah, thank you, Abigail. Really appreciate it. So here's how this is going to work. I am going to... Okay, well, first things first. I will describe the consistency of this pine cone jam as like thick raspberry jam.
Yeah, okay.
It's very seedy, looks like.
Can I ask, are there any actual pine cones in it?
Yes, Casey.
Incredible.
So I'm going to bring this over to you.
Okay.
So describe what you're smelling and seeing there, Case.
Well, so when I smell it, I don't really actually smell a whole lot. but I can see it looks like a dark kind of very viscous molasses-y kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say this, Casey. You know how, like, when you open a bag of deli turkey?
No, honestly.
The first smell you're hit with is, like, fart. And it's just something to do with, like, the gas trapped in that bag,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
because someone farted in it and then put
no,
your turkey in it.
No, no.
What delis are you going to, Alex?
And then you take the meat out and you're like, oh, yeah, it tastes fine. It tastes like meat,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
But that first hit, someone will know what I'm talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
That first hit is like, whoa, this smells unappetizing.
Yeah.
So I say that because my first smell of this is, like, not great.
Farts.
But let's taste it, which is what really matters.
Abigail's like, stop saying that, you guys. First thing you smell when you open up my can is just farts.
Sorry, Abigail. Yes, so to you I say...
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. Oh, wow.
It's really tasty.
It's quite pleasant.
Wow, I'm getting so much, like, pine. Like, I'm chewing in the... scales, I guess is what it is, because it's cones.
I guess so, yeah.
They're so much more delicate. Like, I thought it was going to be like me eating bits of wood.
No.
Well, it's not. It tastes like crackers.
I kind of want to filter it.
It tastes like the smell of pine.
Yeah, it does.
I love that.
I will say the right up front, the first thing I taste is like very Christmassy spices.
Yeah.
Like cinnamon and clove. Very, very spicy and fragrant.
Yeah.
But then toward the back of my throat, like the final notes of this.
Yeah, you get the...
Come the pine.
Yeah. This is amazing.
It's pretty good.
I want to know what this is like on a Triscuit.
Yeah.
Like a peppery one.
I would love a little bit of brie on a cracker with a dollop of this on top.
Let's do it.
I should have gotten some cheese and crackers.
Yeah, well, maybe... Maybe after this episode, Alex, we might just head over to the store. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to know if there is different flavors for different species and genre.
That would be interesting, yeah.
But they're all be generally, you know, they would all be citrusy and that tangy kind of pine scent.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there's like one that is particularly harsh or particularly... spicy or something that's more malty, you know, something like that.
Totally. I mean, this is just so Christmassy.
Yeah, it really is. I'm going to put this away for another couple months.
And the little bits.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming are little pieces of cone scale.
I'm pretty sure they are.
They kind of leave like a, you know, like dry wine.
Yeah.
Like they
yeah.
kind of like tighten your jaw a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah. A little astringent.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
Wow, Abigail, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Abigail. We've got one more thing to taste.
What is this one?
This is spruce syrup.
Spruce syrup, okay.
So I'm going to get myself a little dollop here, and I'll bring it over to you.
Thank you.
So I'm just going to have a little, you know, it's too bad I don't have any medicine to go down, because I'm about to have a spoonful of syrup. Casey gave me the most half-hearted laugh.
I did not. I did not, Alex.
He did
that
so.
Was full-hearted.
He went, okay, ready?
It's because I couldn't respond. I was focused on something else.
That's fine.
I was going to say.
It was a bad joke.
It's supposed to be sugar, Alex.
I know.
God.
God damn it.
When was the last time you watched Mary Poppins?
Go back to Italy where you belong.
Arrivederci.
All right, cheers, Casey.
Cheers.
Wow.
That hits you.
Well, that really has that whole like.
What?
It's made of syrup, it's made of sugar taste.
Yeah.
It's extremely sweet.
Ugh, I
wow.
love it.
That is so interesting.
I want to put that all over my pancakes.
I don't know if I've ever had anything that tastes quite like that.
Mm. I would put that all over everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's tasty as heck.
It's delicious.
It's also covered in little sugar particles at the bottom.
Mm.
I love it.
And it kind of tastes like maple syrup.
It tastes a lot like maple syrup.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of like, does this like maple syrup with like spruce in it or?
Gosh, but it's got some, It's got some flavor that, I mean, I guess that's spruce.
I think it's spruce, yeah.
Like, I've never had before.
I can't place that. This is amazing.
I love trying new things. Wow. But yeah, that's what we got today, Case.
It's amazing.
What delicious treats. Thank you so much to Abigail.
This is like the best trail snacks we've ever done.
I think so. I can't wait to do it again. We should just make this our in-house segment and do it every episode.
Yeah, just everyone send us your tree-related snacks.
Yes, and we'll eat them. That was Trail Snacks. Thank you again to Abigail, Casey. It's time for our completely arbitrary AMA. If you want to ask a question on the podcast, support the podcast at arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Any of those tiers, you unlock the AMA feature. You just got to go over to the AMA tab. You just got to go over to the AMA tab and ask your tree question. Casey, this week, our question comes from Katie. Katie says, hey guys, I'm currently on my honeymoon. My husband and I just went to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks.
Nice.
Now, Katie and her new husband were listening to our old Sequoia episode.
Oh, thank you for taking us on your honeymoon.
Yeah. That's amazing. a little intimate.
it's a little intimate.
And they noticed that, Casey, we said that the diameter of the largest sequoia was 29 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But they just saw General Grant at Kings Canyon Park.
Yeah.
And it said, on the sign there, it said that it was 40 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
And then Katie fell into a bit of a Google rabbit hole.
Well, as we do.
Googling different sources to try to find the largest diameter sequoia.
Yeah.
And was getting different information from different sources. And said, is there a reason why the diameter of the largest tree is said to be different from different sources?
Yeah.
Any idea what it actually is? Mm. My husband wasn't much of a tree lover before we met, but now when we hike, he's always asking me tree identification questions. Thanks to the pod, I can answer them.
Hey, that's fantastic.
There you go.
Thank you for spreading us all over the place like that. Just like this syrup.
So Casey, you and I are kind of the spruce tip syrup of the podcast game.
I think we are. That's great. Yeah, I could not have said it better.
Sweet, semi-translucent. Casey.
Kind of with little bits that kind of stick in your mouth. But we're delicious.
Woof. Casey, this got me thinking how we measure trees.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about this whole like champion tree thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what if they get different information from different measurers and there's a dispute on what is the biggest this or that? So Casey, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I first want to apologize.
Oh my God.
It's not that I get things wrong, but we maybe weren't as clear as we could be because there are a lot of trees that grow and are measured in different ways for different reasons. For example, if we are talking about the largest giant sequoia, which I believe is still General Sherman, then we're not talking about the largest diameter or the tallest tree. That is actually a measure of the volume of the central stem.
Okay.
So largest is by volume, essentially.
Okay.
So the largest diameter, I think, might be exactly the one that they are talking about, which is General Grant. So General Sherman is the largest. It is a diameter of 825 centimeters. Now, for those of you who don't pay attention to centimeters, that is 324 inches, which divided by 12 would give you feet. I don't know why they do it in centimeters, but it's huge. It's giant.
I'm about to fall asleep with all this math.
I'm not going to push this any further. So the second largest stem volume is General Grant.
Mm.
Now, General Grant is shorter but has a bigger diameter.
Okay.
So that's, I think, where this is kind of getting confused, is that what are you measuring and what are you saying is the largest?
Okay.
So whenever they measure things, also another great example is the Montezuma cypress, the Thule tree. That is not a perfect circle at the base.
Right.
So if we measure it, you have to you can take a tape all the way around it. You'll get a circle. You can measure that into you can turn that into a circle geometrically. And that would give you a huge circle. But when you actually look at the cross section of what that stem actually looks like, there's a bunch of blank space in there because there's kind of like a big stem bulbousness over here. And then it goes in, and then it comes out, then it goes in, then it comes out.
It'd be kind of lobed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect way to describe it. So if you are measuring, sometimes they will take individual measurements of all those individual lobes and just get a surface area, take that surface area, and then you turn that essentially into a circle and say, okay, now this is a circle with this area. What is the diameter of that? And then you get a smaller diameter. So that's another fun way to, like, you know, measure things. But which one is more accurate? Yeah. Are they measuring it at the very tippy top of 4.5 feet? Or is it on a slope so that the bottom would be a little higher than the top?
Mm.
It's really, it's confusing.
It seems like a tremendous margin of error for something that should be more precise.
Yeah, and there are certain ways to do it in a precise way. So like the Champion Tree folks, they all have a very particular way, and they've accomplished, or they've thought about each one of the different variables that you might have to come up against.
Yeah.
And they have said, here's how you do it if it's multiple stem. Here's how you do it if it's on a slope. Here's how you do it in this way and that way. So
they've accounted for all these sort of little variables.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different ways to measure it. So someone can say it's the largest by some different measurement. And even with some larger species of, like, redwood and other species of tree, like in the eucalyptus family, for example, they will have big extra arms that come off. So gigantic trees in their own right that are branches that have grown off to the side.
Totally.
A lot of times they don't include those in the calculations of volume because they only do, like, the main stem.
Oh, wow.
Because where do you stop, you know? If you have to measure each individual branch, you're really causing yourself a lot of trouble.
Sure.
And it's very easy just to say to yourself, this is a cone. We know that the top is going to be zero and it's going to be very small, and the bottom, we can measure that diameter. So you can more or less say it's a giant, very tall cone with a diameter at the base of X, and it's in a circle, so we can do all that math and figure it out.
Cool.
So people can do that, and it's the easiest way to do it. It's just mathematically simpler.
Yeah.
And that, of course, makes it a little more accurate, but it also makes it a little less accurate if you're really trying to nail it down. But it also makes it so you can do it across all species. So every tree kind of more or less grows the same way.
Right.
So you can compare them. And that's the big thing where they like to be able to compare these things, because we need to know which is the biggest.
Yeah.
So biggest diameter. Hmm. Well, yeah, we're just one of those
we're
things.
Just one of those species. Yeah. And there you have it. Thank you so much, Katie, for your question, and congratulations to you and Adam. We wish you many more. And like I said, if you want to ask a question to the podcast or just support this podcast, become a Tremium member.
That's right.
At arbitrarypod.supercast.com.
Hey, you know what? Go get a shirt or some stickers over on our website.
That's right. Yeah. Arbitrarypod.com/merch.
I'm just sitting there looking at them all the time, thinking to myself, man, that would look good on you.
Yeah, Casey has dreams about all of you wearing our t-shirts. And we've got plenty of other merch for you, too. Stickers, t-shirts. We have a new tote coming in hot.
Yes. It's going to look so good.
And it's a great way to not only support this podcast, but show people that you like trees.
Exactly. And be fashionable, just kind of outright.
That's right. Yeah. Compete with the best of Milan.
Thank you.
Casey Clapp.
Alex Croson.
That is, of course, the end of our seven deadly stems.
What are we going to do next?
I don't know. I guess we have to talk virtues for a little while to balance it all out.
Oh, yeah. I suppose that's very fair. But I believe instead of doing that next week, we're going to take a week off.
That's right. Yep. We get a bonus episode next week.
That's right.
And then after that, we'll be back with brand new episodes. We can't wait to share them with you. And thank you so much for listening to this series of Completely Arbitrary. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Tremium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.